Let's pray together as we come to consider God's word. Lord, we thank you in this series that we're following for the comfort of these familiar words. We thank you for these familiar words that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit you would invade this place today, and that you would come to each and every one of us. Teach us what it is to be your sheep, to be in your flock. So we pray, come Holy Spirit, and challenge us and change us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you who perhaps haven't been here for the last couple of weeks, we are on a teaching series where we're looking at the I Am statements, where Jesus makes a couple of declarations about himself in the Gospel of John, where he says, I am, and he demonstrates a characteristic that he has. And today we're on this idea, I am the good shepherd. And many of us will be so familiar with this idea of what it is to have Jesus as our shepherd. Context is always important when we come to Scripture. And we need to know where things happen, and we need to know whereabouts they take place in a sequence of events. So I want to give you just a tiny little bit of background before we consider what it is Jesus meant by this. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at where Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Remember that? We were in John chapter 8. Well, in the next chapter, chapter 9, Jesus comes to a man who's been blind from birth, and he heals him, miraculously heals him. And the man is set free, and he becomes a follower of Jesus. But in standard Pharisee behavior, the religious leaders don't like what Jesus has done. They don't like that he has healed this man, and they can't work it out how he has done it, and they don't trust him. And so we have this kind of controversy between the blind man who makes a testimony that he's been healed and these Pharisees who don't believe it. And at the end of the argument with the blind man, the Pharisees throw him out of the synagogue. They say, you're not part of our community. And they send him on his way. If you want to be a follower of Jesus, fine, but you won't be in this particular group of people or community. And what happens at the very end of chapter 9, I encourage you to read chapter 9 and chapter 10 together. What happens at the very end of chapter 9 is that Jesus goes out to find that man. The man who's now been evicted and rejected by his own people, Jesus goes to find him. He gives him a new place and a new community. He welcomes him in. And the Pharisees don't get it. Not only has Jesus healed this man, they have now said he's worth nothing and cast him out, and Jesus has sought him out. Jesus went to find him. They don't get it at all. So where we're arriving in chapter 10, Jesus begins to take on these religious leaders once again. And so he speaks, the context of this passage is he's speaking to these Pharisees who have just thrown this man out. And first of all, he tells them that he is the gate to the sheep pen. And Sam helped us think about that last week. It's Jesus who gives us access to the kingdom. And then he makes this statement that we're looking at today. He says to these religious leaders, I am the good shepherd. And so we're picking up from verse 11, if you want to follow along in your Bible. And in this passage, there's not many verses we're considering today. But I believe in this passage, Jesus answers three questions that all of us must ask if we're going to come to faith. Before we can really commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, then we have to ask a couple of questions. First, we ask, who am I? Who am I? And then we ask, who is he? And then we ask, why do I need him? And as we reach out into this city in this mission, 10,000 lives, it's important to know that all of us need to ask these questions. And so you'll have the opportunity perhaps to have a conversation with someone and help them think about these questions. But first, we need to answer them for ourselves. So who am I? Who are we? Jesus says that we are the sheep. I wonder how you feel about being called a sheep. I have slightly mixed feelings about sheep. They're pretty cute and they're nice to look at, and I do appreciate that. I was slightly wary of them. When I was about 4, I think, I was definitely still in nursery school. We had, you know how the nursery take kids on a trip to the farm or the zoo or something like that? I was taken on a trip to the farm. And you might find this hard to believe, but I was actually quite shy as a child. And I had this little habit when I was shy. If people spoke to me, I always kind of bit my fingers. I always put my hands in my mouth. And I had been to the farm. I had fed little lambs with a bottle. I'd been stroking them. And the hygiene maybe wasn't what it is today. And someone must have spoken to me, and I put my hands in my mouth. And I ended up with a really serious illness. I picked up an infection from those sheep, and I actually nearly died. I was so ill at such a young age. So I'm always just slightly wary of sheep. And so I think if I was to describe myself as an animal, I don't think I would describe myself as a sheep. I just don't fully trust them. But I wonder, if you were to describe yourself as an animal, particularly an animal mentioned in the Bible, what would it be? What animal would you pick? Maybe you'd pick something like a horse, used for war, strong and courageous. They serve a valiant purpose. Someone would crack the whip and the horse would break into a majestic run and carry someone to safety or carry them into war to conquer an enemy. Jesus does not say that we are horses. He says that we are sheep. But the Bible does not make a mistake in calling you and I sheep. It describes us pretty well. Sometimes sheep get a bad press for being stupid animals. Okay, pretty dim-witted. And actually, preachers are sometimes tempted to write people off, to say to a congregation, sheep are stupid, and so are you. Good news is, that's not what I'm saying to you today. I don't think that that's what Jesus is getting at. I don't think Jesus is calling his people stupid. I think he's calling us sheep because we're valued. Sheep are a major source of income in this context. People employed other people to look after their sheep because they were worth so much. Sheep were needed. They were valued for their wool and their milk. The patriarchs that we read about in the Old Testament, much of their wealth came from their flocks of sheep. They owned huge flocks of them. And it was a lamb that God said was acceptable for worship. Now, if sheep weren't of value, would God say they were acceptable for worship? And so you need to know that as a sheep, you are valued. You are valued by God. I look at a flock of sheep and think they all look the same to me. They're all white and fluffy, 4 legs and 2 ears. And yet what Jesus says is when he looks at a flock of sheep, each one is known by name. A good shepherd knows his sheep. You are part of a flock here, but you were made not to blend in, but to be known and loved and valued by the God who created you, by the shepherd who cares for you. You are valued as a sheep. But here's the other thing about sheep. They're prone to wander. And they're not particularly good when it comes to direction. They're not perhaps what we would call autonomous animals. They're not good at making their own decisions. What they need is to be led. Some Turkish shepherds found out that the hard way a number of years ago, and a story came out of Gavas, a town in eastern Turkey, where there was a flock of sheep, and one sheep from this large flock wandered to the edge of a cliff, and it jumped off. And it fell to its death. And a second sheep followed, went to the edge of the cliff, and it fell off to its death. A third followed, a fourth followed, and a fifth followed. And a news report about the incident said this: stunned Turkish shepherds who had left the herd to graze while they had breakfast watched as nearly 1,500 sheep followed each other, leaping off the same cliff. 1,500 sheep. The shepherds were off having breakfast. And without direction and without guidance, the sheep plummeted to their death. Sheep need to be led in the right direction. It's true of us, isn't it? We need leaders. That's what we crave in life. We need direction and leadership. In this country, we've been craving leadership for 3 years. But in our hearts and our souls, we also need direction. I would say that the majority of pastoral conversations that I have with people, particularly with young people, is about direction, is about people seeking the next step. What should I do? Where should I go? How should I deal with this? People are seeking direction. And the prophet Isaiah says this: we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. When we don't have leadership and direction, we make things up for ourselves. And just like those sheep, at some point we'll drop off the cliff. We're left to lead ourselves. We'll find ourselves in danger. Think how many voices there are in your life who want to offer you direction, who want to tell you what to do with your time, what to do with your money, how to worship, what to do with your family. There are voices all around us, pulling us in every direction. And so, to the sheep in each of us, in this passage, Jesus points out not only who we are as sheep, but he points out who he is in our need of direction. He says, I am the shepherd. In fact, he calls himself the good shepherd. Think about Stormont. For 3 years, people were employed to do a job that they weren't doing. And they were being paid for a job they weren't doing. And slightly ironically, our country was united in our frustration with them. It was the thing that perhaps united us most, how annoyed we were with our politicians, people who just were not doing their job. And that's the kind of leader that Jesus is taking on here in this passage. When he says, I'm the good shepherd, he's trying to point out the kind of leader he is to the Pharisees. This image of sheep and shepherds is one that's frequently used in Scripture, and no doubt you can recall to mind a number of verses about sheep or shepherds. And it's one that's not lost on Pharisees. Okay, they understand what he's talking about here. They know their Scripture well. They know their Scripture much better than we do, to our shame. And they know that their role is to be shepherds to God's flock. And so you can imagine how they're feeling as Jesus starts to speak and he starts to talk about being the shepherd, and they're recalling all the scriptures in their mind where they want to defend themselves. And they think about all the scriptures that speak of shepherds until, bingo, Ezekiel 34. That is what Jesus is talking about here. This is a key one for them. And encourage you to go away and read Ezekiel 34. Perhaps in home groups this week you might want to do that, because that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here. We're going to have a quick look at some of the verses. It's a long chapter, 31 verses. I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to pick out a few key verses that have been prophesied about Jesus, and then he speaks into that. Ezekiel 34, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Now bear in mind the context that this man has just been thrown out of the synagogue, having been healed. Ezekiel 34 says, you have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the strays and for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture. and I am your God, declares the Sovereign Lord. Jesus does not hold back. These guys pride themselves on being shepherds of the flock of Israel. And so he speaks to these people who consider themselves shepherds in God's kingdom, and Jesus says, you're not even a sheep in the sheepfold, never mind a shepherd. They have not been the kind of shepherds that God would set over his people, to care for them, provide for them, lead for them. They have been a disappointment. Potentially some of you have been let down before by shepherds, by leaders, by people that you looked up to. And as a leader, I say in honesty, we all make mistakes. We all let people down because we're only human. And that's why only Jesus will do. He is exactly what we need. And he's better than any leader, any pastor, any minister, any politician. He knows exactly who you are, and he knows exactly what your need is. He is your shepherd. He's the shepherd who knows us, names us, holds us, feeds us, provides for us, keeps us. There's no shepherd quite like him. But he's not just a shepherd. He says it himself, I am the good shepherd. He's above and beyond any shepherd that Israel has ever known. He says, I am the good shepherd. So what makes a good shepherd different than all the other shepherds in Israel? The difference is sacrifice. I don't know much about sheep, and I know even less about shepherds. When I picture a shepherd, I kind of picture a man sitting under a tree, probably wearing a tea towel on his head, because that's how we envision that, cuddling a little lamb. But in the context of this conversation, remember Jesus is talking to ethnic Jews. That means without a doubt they know what a shepherd does. And shepherding is as much a part of their lives as cars and computers are part of ours now. But we don't really have shepherds to the same degree. We don't have shepherds the way Israel had them. But we do have farmers, don't we? We have farmers who still care for sheep. And they have many tasks to carry out to look after them, many of them similar to that of a shepherd. This week, a friend of mine who was raised on a farm went home, and she was helping out with some tasks around the farm. And she decided this is a good time to teach her husband how to run a farm. So she asked him to come and help out with the sheep. And he had to help out with a particular job where they needed to move the flock of sheep from one field into another and kind of cross a road on the way. And one of the most important jobs, if not the most important job, when you move sheep from one place to another is a task known as standing in the gap. So this girl's husband, Thomas, he stood in the middle of the road, and as the sheep came out of one field and crossed over to the other, he stood in the way so that nothing would happen to them. And he literally stood like this with his hand stretched so that they couldn't get past him, so that he could guide them on their way into the next field, to stop them from getting knocked down or running away into danger. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd stands in the gap for his sheep. He puts his own life on the line to save the lives of his sheep. And as Jesus stood in the gap for us, as he stretched out his arms, they crucified him. But he stood in the gap between heaven and earth. He bridged the gap between heaven and earth so that you and I could safely cross to God. He stood in the gap to protect us from the enemy. He stood in the gap to stop us from running into sin, running in the wrong direction. He stood in the gap between life and death, between us and God. He laid down his life for you. And he stood in the gap for you because you are his sheep, because you need a leader and because you need a saviour. Last night, many of the news channels and many outlets of media reported the death of Caroline Flack. Caroline Flack was a TV and radio presenter who just yesterday, took her own life. She found herself in very difficult circumstances, and she felt that her only option was to take her own life. Just 40 years old. And you know, there were all sorts of conversations, particularly among young people. And they were on social media talking about this, but one comment particularly struck me from a youth worker. Working in London, Rachel Gardner, some of you may know her. I know she's been here before. But she wrote this on her social media account. As the news of this death, the suicide broke, she wrote this: "Tonight I am with 300 young people who belong to the generation who are daily absorbing the lie that death is the only release to the pain of existence. I am with 300 young people who belong to the generation who are daily absorbing the lie that death is the only release to the pain of existence." That is so profoundly sad and yet true, particularly of our younger generations. People feel that their only way out, the only way to stop their suffering, is to die. There are millions of people of all ages around the world who do not know the kindness of the Good Shepherd, who do not know his grace and mercy, who do not know his healing. There are millions of people who turn to drugs, sex, alcohol, and even suicide to numb the pain they feel. Jesus says they are sheep without a shepherd, and you and I owe it to them to tell them the good news. To tell them that there is a good shepherd who has laid down his life. We owe it to them to say there is a good shepherd who wants to invite you in. And when you're in his presence, you will lack nothing. You will fear no evil, for he will make you lie down in green pastures. He will lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. That's good news to a dying world. We need to tell them there's a good shepherd and he cares deeply. I wonder, do you know the good shepherd this morning? In your pain and in your circumstances, whatever you're facing, do you know Jesus as your good shepherd? The one who leads his sheep. But when one is injured, he picks them up and he carries them tenderly. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Or perhaps you're like the man who was blind and then healed, and you kind of find yourself on the outside of lots of communities, not really fitting in anywhere. The Good Shepherd says, come home. Come home and be in this flock. Let me be your Good Shepherd. You and I have good news to share. We have good news for those in our family and our friends who are lost and hurting. There's a good shepherd. But today we need to let that reality sink into us first, that we are the sheep. And he is the good shepherd. And he has made the sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Lord, we thank you earnestly that we have come from another flock and yet you have welcomed us in. That you carry us tenderly when we are broken and fragile. That when we need direction, you lead us. And we thank you above all, Lord, that you stood in the gap for us. That you were crucified for us. That you laid down your life for us. So we worship you today, Good Shepherd. And we pray that we would know you, we would know your grace and your comfort and your leading. For we ask it in your precious name. Amen.